Скорбин Тавер. Твой оргазм?
Hello, everyone. You are listening to a brand new spanking brilliant episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour.
Ladies Night.
I'm Maud Garrett.
I'm Allison Hayslip. And for the next 30-ish minutes, we are going to keep sipping some booze and spitting some news. And we're doing it all with Tom.
Hi. That was brilliant.
Perfect.
I like the intro.
What's the beer?
This is from our friend, the Beer Baron Mayor Bill.
Yes.
Blowing Rock Kolsch Brewing.
Nice.
It's Kolsch style ale, but Blowing Rock is the name of the
brewery. Hold on.
Blowing.
Is this room temperature beer that you're drinking?
I know. I always drink room temperature. When I get beer at home, I just leave it out. I don't care.
Wow.
I don't drink for the taste.
I have a huge problem with that.
I kind of do too, Tom.
Beer should be ice cold.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? When you drink your beer, you can cold it up as much as you want.
Oh, I
can.
Will.
Yeah, I get that choice. We should be allowed to drink our beers any way we want.
That's true.
We have to do a disclaimer. We are recording this episode immediately after we recorded the last episode. And next week's episode will be recorded immediately after this one because...
But don't worry, we're drinking
throughout all of it. Podcast going to Japan.
And I'm going to Bermuda.
Oh.
Bermuda. Did you guys know?
I'm going to Scottsdale.
Scottsdale.
For a wedding.
Is that where they make Scotch tape?
They should.
Or...
If they don't, they really missed out on a big marketing opportunity.
First thing my mind went to. Scottsdale. I was like, but it's a taping adhesive.
It's basically fancy Phoenix, Arizona. Scottsdale and Phoenix are basically the same city, but for whatever reason, Scottsdale's the fancy side.
God damn it, Bill. You sent these Moravian cookies and they're chocolate with caramel in it.
Bill's gift box.
Oh, those cookies were just...
They're so good.
So good.
Okay, so we... In between episodes, we got on a little conversation, and then I made Maud stop because I felt like it was a good conversation to have on the podcast.
You were talking about how you have to watch It, but you haven't been jumping out of your seat to watch it because you're not scary movies.
No, I'm not a scary movie person, but Isaiah Mustafa, friend of the show, I still haven't seen It Chapter 2, but I feel like I have to see the first It first, so I'm going to watch it tonight because my boyfriend's in town and I get to have someone to snuggle up to on the couch and scream like a man, which is what I do when I watch scary movies.
What the hell is this clown?
No, someone are and I'm it is guttural and deep and not even remotely attractive. But so I was saying the only quote-unquote scary movies that I have been able to sit through are the Paranormal Activities. The first one freaked me the hell out, but I understood as I was watching it, there was equation to it. Like there was a rhythm. Like I could start picking up when the scares were going to come. Mm-hmm. And so when I've watched the other ones, I've been like, oh, because my body knows when the scares are going to come, now it's more entertaining as opposed to actually scary. But Maud was saying.
Yeah. I'd never seen any Paranormal Activity until Paranormal Activity 4.
Right.
Uh-huh. I, at that year, 2011, were working on a night, the evening commercial radio program.
Yeah.
The Hot 30 Countdown with Maddie and Maud.
Ooh, so good.
Yeah. And it being the month of Halloween, I was forced to go and see Paranormal Activity 4 in theaters strapped to a heart monitor.
Yes.
And this heart monitor would register on, I guess, the app. And they would be able to see how fast my heart is going. So they were going to track how long in the movie that my heart started raising. Well, I scare myself. I can't do it, guys. Anyway, so I was in there and around the halfway mark, someone levitates and their back breaks it the wrong way.
Oh.
And
this is a paranormal
right way to break your
four.
Back.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Mm. They snapped. It was just
the wrong way.
Absolutely. And I upped and got the truck out of there.
Got the truck out.
I was just like, I can't finish this movie. I'm done. I lasted, I think, all of about 45 minutes. Amazing. And I was like, cool, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I remember even just being so rattled after that for a while. And I was like, why am I doing
there
this?
There are certain scenes from movies that will still... I was saying to Tom when we were on the way here because he was talking about how he saw Joker. And I was like, I haven't seen it yet. I think I'm going tomorrow. And Tom was like, it does get kind of violent and gory. And I was like...
Well, not as gory as I... Not
as much as you thought.
No, everyone says that it's extreme violence. It's just, it's just
a tiny bit of extreme.
It's sociopath.
Yeah.
Which is Joker.
I was saying, as long as he doesn't smash a pencil through someone's eyeball, like Heath Ledger does in his Joker,
why don't we see this pencil disappear?
Because that scene has fucked me up so much. I mean, even talking about it right now, I'm like, I'm actively avoiding trying to think of it. Because anytime I actually think about it, Maude, why would you do that? I made the motion of smashing the dude's head into the table. Like, it's so upsetting to me. It is so upsetting.
I don't know how I got these scars.
He definitely does not.
But anyway, that's the backbreaking scene for you.
Yeah.
Maybe
you don't like scary stories because you're racist against ghosts.
I mean,
maybe you like
they're white,
like them.
So you can't be racist towards.
Oh, I'm sorry, not racist, but you're just what's the word if you don't like a certain thing?
I'm phobic.
Phobic? No, not phobic.
I am phobic of ghosts. Yeah.
Hate.
I'm scared. They scare the shit out of me. I'm highly paraphobic.
You're paraphobic. Yeah.
I'm 100% paraphobic. I don't think that it should exist. I do not believe in its equality
really
in this
exist.
Place. I am 100% paraphobic.
No.
The movie for me, it was actually my brother. He had nightmares for years after it. The
Blair Witch.
The fantastic movie that I believe came out in 1987, which was written by George Lucas.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
And directed by Ron Howard.
Oh.
Willow.
Yeah. Because which scenes, the
when
thing in the
Bav
end, the
When Morda turns the army into pigs.
Yeah.
And they slowly, practically become pigs. So in one scene, they're all shiny and they've got these tusks kind of coming out of their mouths and they've got like hooves on their hands, but they're standing
That's
up and
creepy.
They're in agony.
Oh, God.
Try and pull up a photo of that. My brother was 3 years older than me when watched
it. And it wasn't okay.
And mom goes, I didn't think I made too many errors as a mother, but I
but that's one of them.
Showing Jack Willow. I fucked up.
You are great.
I watched it just the other day because I love it so much.
Maude, your description reminds me of Trollocs in the series that we're reading.
Yeah.
The Wheel of Time. Which, by the way, girl. Okay.
Do you want to come on the book club?
Fuck yeah, I'll come on the book club.
All right, next Thursday.
But you're still in book one? Okay, so I'm in book 4. And let me tell you, like, the first 3 books, I was like, dig it.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, fuck yes. Like, I would be reading it, and until I would get, in all 3 books, until I would get to probably the last fifth of the book.
That's when it phones it in.
That's when I'm like, page. But up until that last fifth, I could read a chapter and put it down for 2 weeks before I pick it back up again, you know?
I do know. I'm reading it.
There is a chunk in probably the halfway point of book 4 that made me go, fuck yes. Where now I'm like all in this world. They finally give a backstory to something and someone. I don't want to spoil it for you. But like, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? This is what's been going on the whole time. So I'm giving you the heads up that get to the middle of book 4 and you're going to hit a point where you're like, what?
It took me like 2 months to read.
No, I know.
Maybe longer.
Yeah, no, it took.
Oh, wait, when was Comic-Con? I was reading it then, remember?
You're right. That was in July. That
was a few months ago.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, book 1 probably took me almost a year.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, I'm in this. Let me commit. And I just put solid effort into it. But there's something for people who have read the books. I'm talking about the backstory of the AL. So just that's what I mean. But
Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time series.
Yes.
And the first book is called Eye of the World. And what I want to kind of petition is that I am on a goddamn mission to have the best sci-fi fantasy book club.
Fuck yeah.
Of all time.
You can do that. I have faith that you can have
I don't think
the
there's too
one.
Much competition.
That's what I was going
to
say.
To be honest.
I don't think there's a lot going against
you. No one's really fighting this good fight.
What books would you put in there? Like you have like new books or like classics? Mm. Like if you want the best sci-fi.
I dabble between bureaus. There's been quite a lot of books that have come out. My favorite fantasy book that I've read in the last 10 years has to be Patrick Rothfuss's Kingkiller Chronicles series, but there's only
two. Oh my God, when's the third one coming out?
Nerd alert.
I spoke to him about that.
Oh. Yeah.
He says, you know, like, and this has happened before, like when I've liked a guy a lot and everyone thought it would be so perfect together, that he panicked and he couldn't even kiss me. And so he kissed someone else in front of me. That other girl just happened to be my worst enemy. But there's a lot of,
not what happened with Patrick Rothfuss.
No.
Okay.
But it's this thing where when a whole lot of people put so much pressure on something to make it happen, you kind of just, it doesn't almost feel authentic anymore. You don't want to do it. You have to. to do it.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I could be paraphrasing, I could be butchering it, but my understanding from the conversation that he and I had was, and he's also like been in conversations with networks and studios about the property and the IP for so long
right.
that it's just, he goes, and I understand this with
Geek Bomb.
Because
they're making a series with Lin-Manuel.
That's right.
Miranda, yeah.
And it's this thing where it's like something that was a hobby and that was wonderful and that was all of yours.
Has become a job.
Yep.
Yeah.
And kind of people have taken that away from you. And he said every single time, you know, someone goes, where's the book?
Right.
He's less inclined to write.
Yeah, I got that. Pressure. Yeah. I understand that.
The unfortunate thing about this entire thing is that book one and book two, The Name of the Wind and Wise Man's Fear.
Yeah.
Are two of the best books that I've ever read in my
they're
life.
So fucking good.
They're so good.
They're like...
they're so brilliant.
They have all of the fantasy elements you need from like the old school writers like Tolkien and Robert Jordan and mm-hmm. what we're talking about. But he has a like modern touch to it.
It's just brilliant yeah. writing. His world building is outstanding. The way that he writes about music, I could weep. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I did the Geek Bomb, this is the second iteration, I guess, of Geek Bomb Book Club. Because back right. in 2014, I would get the authors on a Google Hangout and we would chat with the author for like 2 hours.
That's so fucking
about
cool.
their book. Yeah. And I ended up talking to Scott Lynch, who did the Gentleman Thieves Club. What was that one? Gentleman's Bastards, sorry.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Ugh, fantastic book. Can't think of the name of the first one, of course. Yeah, a bunch of different great fantasy books.
Yeah, my favorite sci-fi book is the one with the talking bears. Berenstain Bears. They're talking bears.
Tom,
have you read a book?
Science fiction. No. For some reason, the Berenstain.
Berenstain, I know. The fucking...
You know, my favorite sci-fi book is actually, I love the Hitchhikers series.
Oh, yeah.
I've done a book club on that.
That's great.
The answer is 42.
Yeah. 42. Answer to life.
So long. Thanks for all the fish.
My age. I'm 42 now. Does that mean?
Oh, you're the meaning of life, Tom.
I am.
You're the meaning of life. Tell us everything.
All I know is how to drink beer and talk to you wonderful women.
That's kind of the answer to everything.
Yeah. Just take care of the women.
You do a great job of it. I want to do a short little follow-up to something we talked about on last episode, how I bitched about the fucking Sharpie on The Walking Dead.
It's still bothering her.
In between episodes, I took a picture of us and I sent it to friend of the show, Ross Marquand. Yeah. And I said, we just recorded an episode and we talked about you. And he was like, oh God, what? And I was like, I bitched about the Sharpie. And he just wrote back, oh Jesus, the Sharpie is bugging you that much? And I'm like, yes.
Did you write yes in all caps?
No, I sent a gif of the dog shaking his head and it just says yes because it's done. And then he just sent us back a picture of him in a rooster shirt.
I'll look at that.
A cock shirt. There you go. Yeah, Maude. There you go, Maude. Yeah, check out Ross, girl. Check out Ross. Maybe we should just make Drunksmiths just like, we should
up,
just have
Hi, Ross.
10 guests who are single dudes just for Maude.
I don't hate this idea at all.
Ooh.
Drunksmith's Bachelorette edition.
Yes.
Ooh. Is that a cock on his shirt or is he just happy to see me?
That's why I didn't say, I called it a rooster because I didn't want to say he's a cock on his shirt. But
it
he
is
told
a
me
rooster.
He has a cock on his shirt. Oh my God.
Am I getting me too'd?
Oh no.
No, I don't
want to be disrespectful at all.
No.
And if I
just
demand
back
respect
cock shirt
from people
in all caps.
Is he being cocksure?
Cocksure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who else are we going to have on Drunksmiths? People have already put in some suggestions, which is really cool.
Yeah, but guys, tweet us, email us suggestions. We'll ask. I mean, listen.
What's in the realm of possibilities?
Anyone whose phone number is in my phone.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, that opens up a lot of possibilities. Because last night I realized I have Milo Ventimiglia's number in my phone. Yeah. Haven't conversed with him since 2014, apparently.
This is a question that I'm interested in. Someone of that sort of status.
Yeah.
How often do you think they have to change their number? Because I'm not even of status and I've had to change my number.
Right. I know.
Somehow people just get a hold of your number?
If you take a photo of your dog and the tag's half turned around and it's blurry, people will...
Oh my gosh, just as we were talking about last episode.
Mm-hmm. And the amount of friends of mine who are in the business who take selfies of their dog and I DM them straight away and I'm like, dog tag. And they're like, oh, thank you much. And I'm like,
you don't
happen
think
to
about
me.
It.
Happen to me.
I took a selfie once outside my front door and realized you could see half of my... number. Mm-hmm. Not knowing the street, not knowing anything, but just half the number. And I was like, not posting that. No. Took a different picture so you couldn't see the number in it. Yeah. Like, you couldn't even, like, I mean, you could if you put the effort in, decipher what those numbers were. But right. You know what I mean? I
was like, someone's done that to me.
You never know. Yeah.
It wasn't even the numbers. It was just they knew what my front door looked like.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And the last 2 years or 3 years, they'd piece together bits of information where fellow colleagues of mine, they would actually say where they'd lived, and I'd mentioned that I'd lived near them. And so they kind of just Sherlocked the shit out of all
Kevin
of this
Pereira
stuff.
Once, you know, my old G4.
Yeah, love Kevin.
I had this, I mean, this
Kevin!
Is, yeah, this was an apartment I lived in four houses ago. But it was while we were at G4, and it was when posting photos on Twitter sort of first became a thing. Mm-hmm. And I had like a Christmas party and Kevin took a pic. Kevin makes fun. I mean, you know how you have these things that have just always been a part of your life and you don't realize they're weird until someone else sees them? So my mother, like when I moved away, my mother sent me out a whole bunch of her old Christmas decorations. She's like, so you can decorate. And
that's cute.
We've always had, I've never called them this before, but Kevin dubbed it, but they're door pillows. They are these tiny little knit pillows that have different Christmas scenes on them and with a little piece of ribbon, and you hang them around doorknobs.
So weird. I've never seen
that. No, I know, but it's something that has literally existed in my life since birth.
Normal. Yeah.
So I never thought twice about it, and I decorated my house, and I put up all the door pillows, and then Kevin Pereira comes over, and he's like, what the fuck is this? Why do you have a door pillow?
Yeah,
and
I was like, it's not weird. It's not weird.
I was like, I don't know. So anyway, he took a picture of one of the door pillows and posted it on Twitter, making fun of me, but what he didn't realize is he like posted it with the geotag.
Oh.
And someone tweeted him and was like, FYI, you just posted Allison Haslip's address. And it was like, delete it immediately. Like, thank God that person was the person who was like, not, you know, he was like, you should know you did this, not the, oh my God, I got Allison's address, you know? So,
oh my God, I got
but ever since then, I've been like very aware of like not putting my location on when I post shit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't do it.
What is something that you did as a family that you thought was normal until you realized, I'll start?
Let's take a quick break.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then we're going to come back with this story.
Mine's worth sticking around for.
Great.
Not really. But it is.
Okay, we're back. Maude, I want to know the story.
The Garrett children.
I love it.
Sitting in the car when we were driving anyway. This is mum had a really nifty way for seatbelt safety.
Mm.
So she would be sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Us three Garrett kids would be in the back. And whatever age we were, she would say, Popsy 12. And that would have been my eldest brother, Jack. Oh. And that was to say, have you click-clacked? Have you put your seatbelt
in? Have you click-clacked?
And so she'd say, Popsy 12. And he'd be like, yes. Popsy 11? Yes. Darcy.
Yeah, I've done it.
No, he hasn't. Maude. And then Popsy 8.
Yeah.
Or 9. And I'd be like, done it. And then it was this thing where I was like, oh, every mum, Popsies. Popsy.
Popsies. P-O-P-S-Y. That's what
Popsy.
You're saying?
Popsy. Popsy. Yep. And Popsy is just to check that you've put your
seatbelt on.
So
that's delightful.
Getting in someone else's car. Popsy 8. What?
Like, what?
Still, like,
sorry? What's
Popsy
that?
Eight.
Is that your password to your...
Popsy 8.
Popsy 8? Because
I'm 8 years old and I'm...
Popsy 42.
Popsy 42. I'm buckled in.
Do you guys have
takeoff.
I'm trying to think. What are things that my family did?
That nobody
besides
else.
Having door pillows at Christmas, apparently.
I don't know. I thought I guess it was normal growing up just like you did, so I can't think of what would be odd right now.
Yeah, I know.
I've been with my family in 20 years, so I don't know.
You haven't been with your family
in
20?
I've been away from Massachusetts for 20 years.
Jesus. I'm on like 15. I moved out of home at 19.
Gosh.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So I moved into state and then I moved overseas.
My mother has just sent an email to my brother and his wife and I about how my father now refuses to go up. So it used to be like tradition in my family because my parents now live in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Yes.
But we still have family in Jersey and in Maryland. So we normally spend Christmas in Maryland and it used to be Thanksgiving in Jersey. My dad now hates traveling up to the New York, New Jersey area during the holidays.
Yeah. Fair
he's
enough.
Like, it's a nightmare.
When you get to that age, you shouldn't have to
do like,
that shit.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this shit. I've lived enough years on this planet. I don't have to do this if I don't want to.
You made it your problem.
Right. So love Thanksgiving is now in Hilton Head, South Carolina. So I have to truck out there. It used to be so easy just to go to New York. Jersey. Now I have to, like, there's no easy way to get to Hilton Head from Los Angeles. There's always a layover in some ridiculous place, whatever. But my mother sent an email today being like, your father refuses to go to Jersey during Christmas. He'll meet us in Maryland, which is where my 95-year-old grandmother lives. So we kind of have to go to her, you know?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
But my mother is like, I'm still going to Jersey, New York because I need my New York Broadway fix. And so she's like trying to plan out, like, what shows are we going to go see without your father?
Is this Mrs. Hayslip's impersonation happening? Is that what you...
Hello, everyone. My daughter is Allison, and I'm going to get some Broadway.
A bit. I feel like that's what my mother could be like, if that makes sense. Yes.
The caricature version.
But my mother's more like, Allie, she gets really high and then drops really low.
Really?
Yes. Allie, what are you doing? Ugh. Allison.
Have you picked up on all of her mannerisms? Could you finish every sentence of hers now?
I do shit throughout my life constantly where I'm like, I'm my mother.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And it's mainly jokes. Like, my mother will make these jokes about, like, pop culture and kids that she doesn't understand, like making fun of them. And then I've started doing that. And I'm like, I'm my fucking mom. Yeah. I'm just old and like my mom now.
Something,
you know?
I'm so excited to adopt from my mom.
Yeah.
She tells herself to shut up after she's sneezed.
Oh, what?
It's my favorite thing in the world. Because she's like,
shut up.
I have this thing where I've never done the same sneeze twice.
Yeah.
If I go, it's a lucky dip. I've no idea how it's going to come out, but it's not going to be anything I've ever done before. So it's kind of exciting.
Wow, you're like a snowflake of sneezes.
Yes. Yeah. Mum's is just the classic scream sneeze.
Shut up, Lindell.
Lindell?
My mum's name is Lindell.
That's adorable. Lindell.
That's amazing.
Sounds like a dwarf. Like a Santa's
She's
elf.
A very tall
dwarf. Oh my gosh.
She's a 5'9"
Can
dwarf.
I tell you something my boyfriend said to me the other day? And I was like,
I will never call our child Lindell.
I know. I was like, this is a compliment. I sneezed and he was like, I like that you sneeze like a normal person and not like a girl. And I was like, what?
He's obviously seen horror movies with you already.
Right. Exactly. But I guess apparently like women sneeze like, achoo. And I'm like, hah!
I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind
of
shit.
Sound normal.
I can't even do that. I sneeze and legitimately will be like, I killed brain cells on that.
Yeah. Oh, have you done it when you've actually hurt your throat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
Sneeze, oh. Like, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, ow. That had to come out.
Yeah.
Don't they say that you actually do kill brain cells when you
Yeah, because your brain probably hits the front of your skull so hard. That's like, bye.
I hate the ghosting sneezes where you're like,
oh, yeah. And they just dissipate. Oh my God, Aristotle's nose is running because we are talking about this conversation.
Are you allergic to sneezings?
Yes.
Aww.
I started sneezing the other night and people were like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm just allergic to the Giants losing the game because it was during the Patriots Giants game.
I don't get it, but ha, sports.
Ha, sports. Okay, I feel like we should get into some emails.
Yeah.
Oh, what's our time? I can't decide if I should. I might save these two stories for our next episode.
Two stories?
There are two stories that should be together, but I'll
do both of them.
Well, no, I'll do a different story,
okay,
and
we'll
can do
a story.
You do, boo.
I got a burp.
Get it out.
But I can't. Whoa. It's a ghosting burp. Shit!
You have to pat the back, the middle
of
the back.
Yeah, do you
need
to burp you?
Man, I'm just a small child. Why? God, there are so many emails from like way back in the day that I've never even gotten.
It's nice to be loved.
It is.
You get all these emails from fans.
It is. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Wait, Halloween is coming up.
Yeah. Next week from this
ish
episode.
Next, like 10, 11 days.
Yeah. So we'll do this one. This is from a while ago. This email was sent in August. It's from Daniel. It's entitled Halloween in Las Vegas. He says, hey, HHHHLD crew.
Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Maude.
Does he say it?
He says, how you doing?
I wondered, because when you went,
the voice
hey,
of Joey.
Maude, I was like, was he? Is that how he says hey, Maude? And then you went, how you doing? I was like, that's exactly how he's saying.
Nope. He says in the voice of Joey.
Hi, Daniel.
I was listening to the stealth stabbing episode, which is a while ago. Yes.
What's that one again?
I think it was like, my name if I was a D&D character or something.
Oh, yeah.
Tom's a stealthy stabber.
Yeah, Tom was a stealthy stabber.
Sick.
Yeah.
Is he about to do a Fungeons character with me?
No.
What a shame.
Sorry.
What a letdown.
This is actually what it says. I was listening to the stealth stabbing episode where Yous guys,
that's what I like to
yes.
say.
And Daniel, you blew it.
Mentioned Halloween should be on the last Saturday of the month.
Right.
We were talking
right.
about how people, mm-hmm. yeah, that states were
More
trying
fun,
to enact that.
Safety.
Well, in Nevada, October 31st is a state holiday.
Whoa.
So Halloween always fell on a holiday, and we kids always had it off.
Nevada's got so many good things happening.
I thought Halloween itself was a national holiday until I got older and found out it was actually just a Nevada day.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
I didn't know
it was
either.
A full day specifically for Halloween.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's something that happened in his childhood that he didn't know was weird.
So fitting. So fitting. Also, can we take time to shame parents who don't let kids dress up and go trick-or-treating? Oh, because of religious reasons?
I will.
Do it, Maud. So, go nuts.
Stop your child. Don't stop your child from being a child.
That's true.
There it is.
I thought
project your religion on a minor. Let them make up their mind for themselves.
Well, that's tough. That's tough. I mean, listen, I absolutely do not disagree with you.
So you reckon until they hit 18? They have to follow religion until they're 18?
Well, I understand people who believe in a certain religion feel like they have to raise their kids a certain way. I understand that mindset. I'm not saying I would do it or encourage it. I'm just saying I understand it.
Are you a religious?
I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, so was I.
But
really?
Yeah.
So, guys, in Australia, it's just so different. Like we
That's
were
interesting.
The, we birthed Hillsong, which is like a huge
Christian church, right?
But religion is not really
It's not a thing, no.
I got pulled out of religious classes in primary school where some old biddy from the church used to come down and just prattle on about religion.
Yeah.
And I was taught at 8 years of age that anger was a sin.
Really?
Oh, my God.
My mum's a psychologist. I came home and she got angry and I was like, you're not allowed to do that. It's a sin. And she goes, who told you that? I
that's,
was like,
that's
religious
nuts.
Education. And she pulled me out the next day.
Yeah.
She's like, anger's not a sin. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. It's what you do with anger that can be a sin. And I was like, well, that's what she told me.
Interesting. No, so I was raised Catholic, but I definitely like, and I give major props to my mother. My dad's like Protestant or something. And like, it wasn't a big deal.
That's a sin.
But
Catholic man or Protestant.
But I mean, that's kind of part of it. Like my parents were two different versions of this religion. And so neither one was like, you need to believe what I believe. It's like they understood that the other people had different.
What were the differences? What were you having to pick and choose?
I honestly don't know
me.
The difference between Catholic and Protestant.
It
has to do something with the rites, like the traditions and the rites that you follow. It's like, it's still the same Bible, but there's a different way to follow it. What?
Still Ten Commandments?
In both.
Well, yeah, because that's the Old Testament.
Oh, geez,
but
I don't even know.
When you get into anything that follows under Christianity, it's the New Testament.
Is that what? So Judaism is for Old Testament?
It's the Old Testament,
get
correct.
Out.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm learning about that. Yom Kippur happened recently?
Yeah, it did.
It did happen recently.
So anyway, both my brother and I had to go to church every Sunday with my mother. But once we started hitting the age where we had, like, we clearly started having our own opinions, my mother was open to hearing them. It wasn't.
That's nice of her.
It wasn't a, you have to do this because I am telling you.
Wow.
There would be times where I would be like, I don't want to go to church today. And she'd go, okay. And then there'd be times where I was like, I want to go to church. Because, I mean, like, church didn't suck when I was a kid. I went to a super, super liberal Catholic church. Like,
that's
to the point where when I went to other people's Catholic churches, I was like, what the fuck
is
happening?
So dour and.
Like,
here.
they had like waited, like our church had like a folk group that my mother was a part of that she sang in. Like,
that's
it was
cool,
super modern and hip. And like, and I didn't realize that because when you grow up in it, you're like, this is what an all church is. So when I started seeing what other Catholic churches were like, I was like, oh, this is different.
So I haven't been christened or baptized, but I remember when I was seven, my best friend at school did, and she got a new middle name.
Yeah.
I was so jealous. I was like, she's got this new middle name, Francis. I was like, I want a new middle name. So I come home, Mom, I want to get baptized or christened. I want a new middle name. She's like, if that's what you really want to do, we'll do it.
Really?
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. If you learn about it, she goes, let's talk about what this is.
Yeah.
If you really want to do that. And then I was like, this is a serious conversation all of a sudden.
I
just want a name. That's all. She's always been like that though. Because like in high school, we had to study Islamic religion, Judaism, Hinduism.
Wow.
Like we learned all about it
That's
over
awesome.
2 years.
Yeah.
And like Buddhism. And Mum goes, look, I love that you're learning about the world and religions. And if there's one that really suits you and you feel really reflect your moral values, I support you 100%. But she goes, just letting you know, I was raised Christian. I think maybe she was raised, I don't even know. And she had to go to church and she goes, your father and I just really don't feel that we want to be religious and we haven't raised you religious, but we're not stopping you from doing it.
Right.
And I was like, sick. I'm never going to church. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's what I think, like, you know, my family kind of got right. It was like when my brother and I started having our own opinions about things, they were like, okay.
How is Halloween anti-religious?
No, it's... So in certain very strict religions.
Oh, they can't even read Harry Potter, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fuck
it's,
that.
It's about like witchcraft okay. and so that kind of thing.
So let's go back to the whole letter there. It's not even about if you're a parent and you're not letting your child read Harry Potter, you are, look in the mirror, the devil.
Wow.
Said
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No, man, but it's so interesting having an opinion on religion when you haven't been raised religious.
But like, but Halloween is technically like a celebration
of the devil.
Well, All Hallows Eve, right? I feel like Aristotle, you keep nodding like you know more about this. So help me out with this. It's a pagan holiday.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
So celebrating it as if you're.
Is it because paganism is too new?
No, because
paganism
is what,
way old.
So
I'm sorry,
is
it before or after BC? BC or AD? Because Christianity was.
Well, Christianity defined BC and AD.
Exactly. So paganism is in what, the 13th century? So
wait,
it's newer.
Yes. No, I thought paganism is what like influenced and helped. Wait, no, you're right. They all existed first. And then I think they took some elements of paganism and put them into.
We have no idea what we're talking about.
I think we're offending several people.
Probably. I'm sorry for everyone out there, but we're trying to figure this out on our own.
Do what you want to do.
The only thing I didn't like about paganism, again, that was like inflicting someone's beliefs onto another person. I believe that you're a witch.
Right.
And it's like, but I'm not. Ah, but I believe it.
Well, that's not necessarily, that wasn't it's, like where,
yeah.
that's not all that's of paganism.
It is to me.
There you go. But anyway, that's why some, like, this is the point. Like, Halloween is no longer anything that's celebrating a pagan holiday, right? It's literally just like, let your kids fucking dress up yeah. as the Avengers and go get
well, I
candy.
I think that's exactly what Christmas is all about. Christmas is literally the birth of Christ, but everyone's like, Santa.
Just give me your presents.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, can I do a shout out to some friends now that we brought that up?
Yeah.
A trailer just got released for an animated movie that's coming out on Netflix called Klaus, and it's the origin story of Santa Claus. Because there's never actually been an origin
story. He's only ever been an old man.
He's just always been Santa Claus.
I'd like to know 27-year-old Santa.
Yeah, well, I think you might get that. But my friends, Jim Mahoney and Zach Lewis, wrote the script to this movie. It's their first big thing that's coming out. So catch it when it comes out on Netflix. Klaus.
Oh, there was one. There's the yearly special.
Do you reckon he was hot?
Huh?
What?
Do you reckon, like,
Santa was hot?
Yeah, in his 20s.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, same. Same.
There is a Santa origin story called Santa Claus is Coming to Town with Mickey Rooney. It's one of the Rankin Bass.
Well, there's not an animated origin story.
This is animated. It's stop motion.
It is?
That's animation.
Fuck, I've struck out.
Technically, it's animated because it's stop motion.
God damn it.
Apparently, Santa
was
a bit of a...
Well, whatever. Watch my buddy's movie.
I'm going to see it. I'm going to watch it.
Santa was a player, though, in his 20s. You just know it.
You just know it.
He's too good at saying, ho, ho, ho.
Snap. Okay, Aristotle, what did you look up? I feel like you looked up something important.
I want to learn more about pagan times, actually.
Yeah, is that what we're looking at? Paganism. Here we go.
The
paganism.
Only thing I've really learned is that the Salem area, which is around Massachusetts.
Yes.
Which, again, I didn't even know Massachusetts ended in T's up until about 7 years ago.
What did you think it ended in?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Oh, God, no. Mm-hmm.
No, I know. You guys have to understand, when you're raised in a completely different country on the other side of the world.
No, this is what we're learning. It's very fascinating.
Spell Massachusetts.
M-A-S-S-E-U, Massachusetts.
Wait, what?
Not even.
Forget it.
Anyway. M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. I can spell Mississippi. Thank you.
That's good.
What? Okay, anyway, here we go. Paganism. It's a term first used in the 4th century, so you're right, after, by early Christians for people in the Roman Empire who practiced polytheism, so anyone who believed in more than one god. This was either because they were increasingly rural and provincial relative to the Christian population, or because they were not... soldiers of Christ, but written in Latin.
So the ancient Greeks, they were polytheists.
Yes, the ancient Greeks were, and then Christianity came around during Roman
times.
There
was just one job. One job.
There's one job.
One job for you to do.
Yeah.
And that's to worship one god.
Oh my god,
what?
Guys!
What?
My sister-in-law is in labor.
Oh, what? Shit! Are you going to be an aunt?
Again, yes!
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
that's so exciting!
You're becoming an aunt right now for the first time?
No,
second time.
But
it's
like,
a boy? It's another nephew?
It's another boy.
Oh my god!
Hold on. I don't know what to do, but Darcy, I've just announced this on the podcast.
Woo!
This is so exciting. We're so happy for you.
Push, Darcy, push!
Miracles made right here on the Half Hour Happy Hour.
That's
Miracle
so
of life.
Cool, man.
Babies made.
Yeah, are we taking a photo now?
Yeah, imagine having a freaking... freaking kid, hey.
Shout out to everyone who's had a kid.
Shout out to all the moms.
That must be amazing and
I don't know what his name's going to be. He refused to tell me the name.
Oh.
Did they do a baby?
Last time I got it out of mum, he only told mum and I went.
So what's your first nephew's name?
Arthur. And I remember it was such a funny thing because mum's like, he told me. And Darcy's like, she's not allowed to tell anyone. Like, she's the only one who knows. Da, 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 da.
Interesting.
And so I go, oh my God, mum, he told me too. And she's like, he told you it was Arthur? And I was like, no, but thank you.
God, he's so crafty.
You tricky, tricky little bitch. Tricky, tricky little bitch.
You didn't try pulling that.
How are we doing on time?
How many drinks have you had?
Tricky little bitch.
That's the name of the episode. So help
this is
me.
Definitely the tricky little bitch episode.
Yeah.
The tricky little bitch episode.
I do want to preface and say if someone is strongly religious and I have danced around that in a very ignorant way, I do apologize. I am learning about it every day and I'm fascinated by it. I just haven't grown up with it.
No, it is interesting and I feel like that's the thing we have learned over the last, how long have we been doing this with you? 10 months of this podcast?
Yeah, crazy.
Is like,
we didn't get Berenstain Bears, guys.
No, God. But like, Maude, you and I have known each other for
seven years
and I'm learning so much just these last 10 months about like how differently Australians are raised than Americans.
You almost look disgusted.
No, like, not at all.
I don't,
but it's
so many deaths.
No. The thing that's fascinating to me is like, you know, it's what we get sent emails or read stories or whatever. And like things that automatically click to me as being like, ooh, that's going to be a sensitive subject does not register to Maude that way. Because
at
just,
all.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm also constantly learning.
Right.
And it's a pretty exciting journey for me. But it's like, you know, I don't, I think ignorance is often, it's like obviously a topic that you don't know, but I refuse to be purposefully ignorant. I don't like to stay in the dark.
Yes.
I go, I don't know anything about it. Tell me everything.
Right,
like,
right, right.
This is so cool.
Right.
And I am awfully ignorant about so much. Like America has 10 times the population that Australia does.
That's crazy.
So much more diverse. You're such a fucked and amazing and all over the place history.
Yeah.
And it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
I know. To kind of walk in on it and be like, oh, hi, America.
Have I done a shout out to the podcast Stuff You Should Know yet? Have I talked about this?
Yeah. Aristotle
did I? Just a smidge? Yeah. Because it's like one of the podcasts that I found because it's like they do episodes on Stuff You Should Know, which it's like.
Sounds like I should listen.
Well, yeah, because it's like there's things that you hear about, like the Contra-Iran scandal happened during the Reagan years. It's a term that I have heard and understood it happened, but I really had no idea what the fuck happened. Contra Iran. So
if my family were being held hostage,
okay,
and there was a gun to their head,
right,
and they said, "Maude, say one sentence about the Contra Iran."
Yes,
I would be an orphan.
Oh,
yeah. I'd take you in.
Thank you.
You could sleep under the couch,
and that would be my ignorance.
But Maude, to be fair, prior to me listening to that podcast, I probably would be too.
This is actually happening in pop culture. The actress Jamila Jamil, do you know her? She's in The Good Place. She's such an activist.
Oh,
she's so amazing.
Yes.
She was saying, she's British.
Yeah.
She grew up like not in America and she's just understanding what the whole Bush saga was, which I want to learn about because I don't really know it. And she's been copping so much shit. For even though when this all happened when she was 17 and she'd already dropped out of high school and she'd had a huge accident where she was learning to walk and talk and everything again. And she was in poverty and she was going through an eating disorder, like this whole thing. And she felt like she had to apologize for not knowing in depth about this subject. But I'm here going, I don't learn about American politics.
Yeah, we don't learn about Australian politics.
Exactly.
Well, but I will also say that like the stuff that, how do I say this right? When it was happening, I think people were like during, we're talking about Bush W here, the second Bush, right?
Mm-hmm. The one who's best friends with Ellen DeGeneres.
That whole scandal. Like while that crap was going down, people were livid, but it wasn't as vocal.
Because and there's now, no social media.
Right. And now people can be vocal. So the fact that he's coming back up, it's like people are being vocal about stuff that should have been vocal about back then, but they weren't.
Got it.
So it didn't have the same impact as like what is happening in our current administration.
See, I know a lot about what's happening now. Right. I'm in this country
because everyone is very vocal and it's a huge shift in culture.
But I'm also pursuing that information.
Right.
Whereas
right.
as a teenager, the last thing that I was doing as an Australian in high school.
Absolutely. But this is my point, and her, like, she shouldn't be held accountable for this because it wasn't as accessible back then. Mm. The vocalness of what people were standing up for was not nearly as accessible mm-hmm. when Bush W was in office.
Yeah.
She's gone on this amazing campaign almost where she's encouraging, she goes, I love learning messages and learning lessons in the public. I love to not know about something and then, or like maybe even get something wrong. And then I'm able to grow.
Feedback.
Yeah. And she goes, we're in this society at the moment where cancel culture exists.
Yeah.
Where you do one thing wrong and you are done for life.
Yeah. Right.
She goes, we've really kind of abolished the notion of redemption or being able to grow and learn from your mistakes.
Right, which is unfortunate.
And she's saying, all I do is like in this instance, she goes, oh my gosh, I didn't know enough. I was wrong. And like now I'm learning and it should be celebrated that I'm becoming less and less ignorant because I'm learning about this and I'm actively pursuing knowledge.
Yeah.
And she just is so fearful of this cancer culture that's happening. And I also do believe in, like, admit when you're wrong, apologize authentically.
I completely
agree.
And
learn and grow from it. But to be like, nah, fuck you, you're done for life. I'm going to try and destroy you. And I've had people in the droves cancel me for things that I've said and done online or in ignorance or a joke that fell flat, whatever it was.
Yeah. Right.
And when an apology is like, nah, screw your apology, it's like, well, you can't actually deny someone from trying to do better.
Right, of course. Of course. Yeah, that's the...
I can. I do.
You should get a Twitter account.
I think the thing
with
is...
an egg profile pic.
Yeah. I think the thing is there are some things in our current culture that are happening that should not be excusable. Like things that clearly like people have done that are dark and hateful and come from a psychology of just... wrong.
100%.
But
those
we
people
are so
aren't compassionate, don't want
right,
to learn.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're kind of associating now any wrong with just being flat out wrong.
Yeah.
As opposed to a wrong that can be forgiven.
I
you
think
know
a
what
great
I mean?
Example recently is SNL that announced three new cast members and then all obviously when this happens, people trawl through their history and they unsurface anything that can debunk them.
Right.
And one of the comedians, a white man, showed time and time again that he was incredibly racist in his comedy. And I mean, I was waiting to defend him because it was like the Kevin Hart situation where he said something 10 years ago or James Gunn.
Yes.
But these videos were 9-8 months ago.
Right, I know.
And I'm
and,
like,
and the
oh,
things he was saying, I was like, oh
if
my
he
God.
Hasn't learnt that yet,
exactly.
Now,
if you haven't
in this
learned.
Time, and that's when I was like, get rid of him because he's being offensive for the sake of being offensive.
Right.
And he's throwing away slurs like it just.
It was not coming.
From a place of privilege, really.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but with this James Gunn thing, like, he was trying out a humor when Twitter was just kind of surfacing.
Right.
And it was a fucking swing and a miss.
Right.
You know? And he's just like, that's just not who
well,
I am
and it's
anymore.
Also shit at the time that was accepted.
I actually get a little bit nervous about it. I think I need to go back and delete anything from when I was living in Australia. Because like I said, Australians are all offensive and no one's offended. And in America, no one's offensive and everyone's offended.
I want to move to
Australia.
God,
that's a good slogan.
So I'm worried about what was super kind of hilarious at the time that everyone was just like, she's not wrong,
just
which is now incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't have said that on here because someone's going to go troll back through.
But you were on medications back then.
Wink, wink. Anyway, all you listeners out there, if we've offended you or if you want to offend us, you can email us at halfhourhappyhourfans@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at halfhourhappyhr. Please subscribe to us on whatever you listen to us on. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play,
Spotify,
tune in. All that kind of jazz. Help spread the word. Hey, help us learn.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking love learning.
The amount of shit that I have learned doing this podcast for the last 4 or 5 years is like kind of astounding.
Oh my gosh. Every day.
I'm a scientist now because of this podcast. So
I saved a life.
You literally saved a life, Maude.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And that is it for this week's episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour at Ladies Night.
Ladies
I'm Alison Hayslip.
I'm Maude Garrett.
Thanks for being in with us, Tom Kraske.
Thank you.
Star Brands Audio, a podcast network.